In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you. I want to give you a story that happened many years ago. I was at the Trappist Monastery, St. Joseph's Monastery, and I was very tired, and I decided that I was going to take a nap before I started to pray. And this woman came in to see me. The monk said, "Go see that priest down at the abbey." I wasn't a priest at all. I was just a lay person, but not just. I knew Jesus. And she came in and she says, "Can you help me?" The last thing I wanted to do was to help her. I was exhausted. But I said, I'll see. Tell me your story." And she told me, "My mother had 23 children. I was the last one. And one day, I went to visit her in the hospital. She wasn't very sick. And I said to my mother, 'I have to go home. I'm tired.' And my mother said, 'You know, go home. Come back tomorrow.' So when she went home, the mother died. The mother wasn't very sick. And she had this guilt that she did it because she didn't stay with her mother because she was exhausted. And so I took her in prayer to her mother's room in the hospital. And I said, 'But you've got to see Jesus with you. Take him by the hand. See Jesus with you.' And she did. And I said, 'Okay, tell your mother you're leaving because you're tired, but take Jesus with you as you leave the room.' And she did. And I said, 'When you left the room, Jesus was there with your mother, and he took her in his arms, and she died.' Well, there was this black, black sheet that was over her spiritually. And all of a sudden, the power of God came. She said, 'What's happening?' I said, 'It's the power of God loving you, telling you you don't have to be guilty anymore. She died in the arms of Jesus.'" You see, we need to remember that when these bad things have happened to us, that Jesus was there with us, that Jesus was there for us, that Jesus was there to us. We need to pray it into existence. You say, like the man that backed his school bus into the little child, he would need to hear Jesus say, "I was with you when it happened. You didn't do it on purpose. I want to take this guilt from you because I was with you, and I want to take this guilt from you." I tell you, it is time for us to see Jesus in all of our hardships, in all of our pain, that he was there, and that he needs us to just go to him and say, "I believe you were there." And picture it in your mind. "I believe you were there. Now, Jesus, would you heal this terrible guilt that I go through?" And you know what? He will. He will, he will, he will. I'm looking at the 10th chapter of St. Mark, verse 13. "People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them." I tell you, when you go to the Holy Land, you are barraged by little children at every stop. Yes, they're looking for a dollar, and you might want to buy their postcards. This is that all the little children come to Jesus, and his disciples spoke sternly to them. In other words, get away from the master. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Let the little children come to me. What about you? You were once a little child. Your mother and father used to fight, and you used to hide. Well, Jesus was with you. Jesus was with you when you hid, and he's drawing all that fear from your heart. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. That's what he wants to do to you. He wants to take you up in his holy arms and fill you with his presence. You say, but it happened 43 years ago. One day is as 1,000 years with Christ Jesus, and 1,000 years is one day. It just happened yesterday. And the Lord wants to absorb all that pain, all that pain, all that pain, all that guilt. Verse 17, as he was setting out on a tour, on a journey, a man came up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these things since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor." Jesus loved him. I never forget when I was a seminarian. We were sharing the gospel after Mass. And I said, "Wasn't it beautiful that Jesus loved him?" And the priest who celebrated said, "Where did it say that?" I said, "You proclaimed it. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. I tell you, you can't depend upon your possessions. You can't depend upon the stock market. You need to depend upon Jesus. You need to depend upon Jesus. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And he and his disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For man it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Oh yes, how many rich people have given their lives to Jesus? They'll go to heaven eventually like the rest of us. How many rich people have given their lives to Jesus and used their money to help people? Oh, yes. All things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, all things are possible, Lord, I believe. Do you believe? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you surrendered to Him? Have you repented of your sins? Have you gone to confession? Oh, yes. Repent of your sins. Then go to confession. Repent of your sins and ask the blood of Jesus to pour over you. Peter began to say to Jesus, Look, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. I tell you, he did not say fathers, because there's only one Father, the Father in heaven. And the fields with persecutions. In other words, you're going to get an abundance, but you're also going to be persecuted. Why are we persecuted? Because we stand up for the cross. We stand up for the resurrection. We stand up for Jesus. And people who don't want Jesus will persecute believers. Oh, yes, will persecute believers. Why? Because they don't know better. The only thing we can do for them is to pray for them, that they would come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would come in contact with Jesus Himself. How we need to pray for these people. And in the age to come, eternal life. Not only persecutions, but eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Who are the first ones? The Jewish people. They're going to be last. Who are the last ones? The Gentiles. They're going to be first. We need to preach the gospel to Jew and Gentile alike. I always have told you I'm delighted to be on the radio because I have Jewish people who hear me and who give their lives to Jesus. They do it in secret, but they do it. Maybe you're one of those people, because salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Verse 32, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. The only way to go to Jerusalem is to climb the mountain up. And Jesus was walking ahead of them like the shepherd. He is the shepherd. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, See, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him. Jesus, for the third time, foretells his death and resurrection. They will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him. They will spit upon him, flog him, kill him, and after 3 days he will rise again. Hallelujah. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew what was going to happen. It wasn't good news. It wasn't news that he had to wait for. He knew that he would be rejected by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, and that they would spit on him and they would slap him and they would beat him up. He knew these things. James and John, verse 35, the sons of Zebedee came forward to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And Jesus said to them, What is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, the cup of suffering, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, the baptism of suffering? They replied, We are able. Then Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism which I am baptized with, you will be baptized. In other words, they're going to suffer persecution. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared. Verse 41. When the ten heard this, they became angry with James and John. They became angry because they're saying, We want to sit one at your left and one at your right. So Jesus called them and said to them, You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. It's all about giving our lives to Jesus. It's all about serving people. It's all about being people, helping people, taking the form of a servant, of a slave, and doing what Jesus wants us to do. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you know that today? That he gave his life as a ransom for you? Are you part of the many? You can be. Just tell him, I love you, Jesus. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I repent of my sins, Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As a life, a ransom for many. I love this next one. Verse 46. They came to Jericho, and he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. So they didn't stay very long. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. He did not have a name other than his father's name. It's Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of John. Bartimaeus is son of Timaeus. He didn't have a name. He was blind, and he was sitting at the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even louder, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Jesus stood still and said, Call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, My teacher, let me see again. So it seems like he knew what sight was, because he wants to see again. Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Where is Jesus going? He's going to Jerusalem to be rejected by the elders, to be spit upon, to be crucified, to be raised from the dead. And Bartimaeus followed Jesus up to Jerusalem. Oh, yes, I am sure that Bartimaeus was by the cross of Jesus Christ when he breathed his last. He knew all about Jesus and how love was in him, that he gave him his sight. Oh, yes, Bartimaeus was there. I am sure of it. I am sure of it. I am sure of it. Chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" The Lord needs you to tell people about Jesus. The Lord needs me to tell you and other people about Jesus. They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them that Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. And then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. We're going to continue now. We're looking at Isaiah 44. "But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you in the womb, and will help you." He formed you in the womb, and he wants to help you. "Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants." Yes, the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon you and your descendants, upon me and my spiritual descendants. Oh, yes, how we need the power of the Holy Spirit. How we need that God would pour out his Spirit upon the church. Start with me, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon me so that I would continue to preach, and would preach with conviction and love. Oh, yes, with faith, conviction, and love. How I need the Holy Spirit. How I need the Holy Spirit. "I will pour out my Spirit upon your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. They shall spring up like green tamarisk, like a willow by flowing streams." Yes. "I am the first, and I am the last." Verse 6. "Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Do not fear or be afraid. I have not told you from of old and declared it. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me?" You are the witness of Jesus. I am the witness of Jesus. He does not want the devil to witness him. But he wants you to be his witness. He wants me to be his witness, to tell people about Jesus, that they don't have to suffer alone, that Jesus wants to heal them. And until he heals them, he wants to use their suffering, but he wants to heal them. Oh, yes, I believe that. Healing is the food of the children, healing and deliverance. He wants to heal you. Oh, yes, because he loves you, because he's Jesus, because he's with you. See him with you today. See him by you today. See him with you today. And know that he loves you. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In all your pain, Jesus was there. Let him absorb it. Let him absorb it. He loves you. He's in love with you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.